replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you for your word. Help us now to keep listening to what it is that you have to say to us this morning. Amen. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been in a series looking at the Apostles' Creed. This creed that has been said by the church for centuries and centuries. Really, since the 4th century. The creed, as we know it, people have been declaring this truth in church. Now, I might as well say it up front. You might be wondering, why in the creed do we say the Holy Catholic Church when this is an Anglican church? I've heard some people, they don't say that line or they don't say that word. Well, it is not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. Right, this is a little c Catholic Church, if you like. And the word Catholic just means universal. Which is why in some forms of the creed, you might be more familiar with that line, the Holy Universal Church. So some creeds, rather than saying Catholic and therefore there being confusion, have replaced the word with universal. The worldwide church. That is all it's saying. Well, not really all it's saying, because that is a big thing to say, as I hope you will see this morning. Your expectation of church. I wonder what it is. I wonder what it was as you came here this morning. Maybe you are only here for the baptism. And if it wasn't for Daniel, you would not be here today. Maybe you double-checked the address. Leisure centre? You're thinking, what sort of church is this? Maybe others came because that's what you do over Sunday. You come to church. Maybe you came to connect with God, to worship Him. And maybe you're hoping for something that will be helpful for you and your life. That the sermon won't be too long and will be at least a little bit interesting. I don't know, what was your expectation of church as you came this morning? There are two things that I want to say this morning. And they might actually challenge your view of church. And I'm hoping also that it will give clarity to what it is and how good it is to be part of church. Now, the first has to do with the first half of the phrase that we're focusing on. So we're looking at the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. I want to think first about the Holy Catholic Church. Another way of talking about this is that the worldwide church. To be a Christian, to stand up and affirm the words in this creed, you are saying that you believe in the worldwide church. that God is gathering together a people for himself. Right, there are how many people in the world today? Over 8 billion people. And there are people all over this world who believe, who declare that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, all of these people right throughout the world, they mightn't get together as one and do church as we are this morning, but they are part of God's worldwide church, his mega church, if you like. Right, and we look forward to that day where all believers will be gathered together. We look forward to heaven. Revelation 7 speaks of that day and that great multitude, too many to count, a people from every nation, tribe, people and language. All people who have ever lived, who have believed in God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit, who trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for their salvation. They are part of this multitude, part of God's worldwide church. Right, that is a big view of church. If you just get your head around that, how God is at work, this gathering of people from all around the world to be his people. And that day is going to be so marvelous, to be there, part of that multitude, being part of that people from every nation, tribe, language, all with one thing in common, Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The blood of Jesus, that is what makes us his people, the church. And we will stand together as one in praise of God, in worship of him and his son and what he has done for us. And I just imagine what it would be like to be there. For me to look over and maybe to spot, I don't know, somewhere on the other side of that multitude, my friend Brian from Uganda. Or maybe on this side of the multitude to see my mate Derek from the Solomon Islands. We've been hearing about Byron, who's recently come to know the Lord through the Tingles in Ecuador. To see him and maybe his parents part of this multitude. To see inmates in Fiji that Mark and Mel are working with. Not wearing orange, but wearing the same clothes as you, a white robe. To see your compassion child and their family, or whoever it is, to come together in this group of people that God is gathering together for himself, how good that will be. Millions and millions of people, part of God's people, God's worldwide church. And you start to see in Acts 2, in the passage that Bill read for us, earlier in that passage, you start to see it there. This is a significant day in the history of the church. This is Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. And people are gathering here from all the nations known in that day, and they're coming together in Jerusalem. And the wondrous thing is that they all start to hear that the wonders of God in their own language. And as a result, that day, 3,000 people come to know God as their Lord and Savior. They become part of God's people. If you've been up to Katoomba, been to the Katoomba Christian Convention, I used to be able to get 3,000 in that big shed. All right, that was until OH&S or WH&S, whatever it is. So it's a little bit less now. But what is that banner? As everyone's seated in that auditorium, the banner, the words up the top, all one in Christ Jesus. Right? If you've been there, it doesn't matter what church, what denomination, what people you are from, all one in Christ Jesus. And that is just a small part of God's people that He is gathering together for Himself. Tonight up at Quakers Hill, the Nairobi Chapel Band, they're going to be there, they're going to be playing music and leading. So we'll get a different taste, another taste of the worldwide church, how God is at work amongst that people over in Africa. So come along, 6 o'clock, be part of that. What do we see here? To be part of the church is to be part of God's people, His worldwide people. Right, that's the first thing that I wanted to share with you. To see that the church is God's people, His worldwide church, people who know Him and worship Him. Right? If you're part of that, that means that you are part of something big. Right? It means you are part of really the biggest thing that God is doing today. What is God doing? Why does this world go on? God is gathering together a people for Himself, a people who will know Him and worship Him. So if you're a Christian, you are part of that worldwide church. All right, how good is that? Now in that first line where it says, Holy Catholic Church, you might look at the churches you know it and think it's anything but holy. More like corrupt and money-grabbing and abusive, hypocritical. And the church does have a lot to apologize for. And you might look around churches, you know, and think that it's full of, or not full, of pretty ordinary people. And you'd be right. So in what sense is it holy? Well, in the sense that it belongs to God, right? It is His people that He is calling out of the world, right? Still in the world, but belongs to Him. His people set apart to know Him and to worship Him. So to be part of the church is to be part of God's people. It means you're part of something big. It means you're part of the biggest thing that God is doing in the world right now. So are you part of it? If you are, know what it is that you are part of. And if you're not, why not? Because you're missing out. Well, let's turn to the second phrase, the communion of saints. Okay, so it's great to be part of God's worldwide church. But in these words, the focus turns to the local church, being part of a small group of God's people. A small group, like what we are today, where we get to do church together. That is the sort of idea that is expressed in these words, the communion of saints. Church is not something you go to. But it is something that you are part of. Another word for communion is fellowship. I don't know how much that helps us though. Sharing life, sharing experiences, the joys, the sorrows, sharing possessions, things that God has given us. It is a sharing of our lives. It is essentially, it's a sharing of faith. And saints, the word saints just means believers. Right? I think you might think of saints and you might hold them up and think that they're perfect. Right? We are nothing but perfect. If you look at the creed, the very next line goes on and talks about the forgiveness of sins. As his people, we fall short and we are constantly in need of God's forgiveness that comes through Jesus. We are part of God's people. The very next line in the creed speaks of his forgiveness. We'll look at that next week. Now again, Acts 2 gives us a brilliant picture of what this looks like. It goes on and talks about it in the context of a local church. So let me read it. A few of the verses that Bill read, and listen for the communion of saints here. Now this mightn't be your experience of church, but it's a great picture of what the local church can be. So Acts 2, now reading from verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Now that sounds like a community that you'd want to be part of, doesn't it? You read that? That is a community. Maybe a challenge though to our individualistic way of thinking. We can think of church as what we can get out of it. How it can benefit me, rather than thinking of it as a community and how I can give and serve and love the other people who are there. What we read here might be a different way of thinking for you as you think about what church is. Let's just think for a moment, why? Why were they like this? Like this sharing? Everything that goes on here, what they did in people's homes, the praying, everything here. Why? Their culture was more community orientated. Maybe, that's probably right. But I think it's more than just that. Reality TV shows, not that they had them. I'm not a big fan. This year, if I got into one, it was probably The Block, Glass House. Now, one of the big phrases in reality TV shows is game changer. It's a game changer. They love to talk about it as a game changer, and it seems every week. I don't know how you can have a game changer every single week. I think it is a little bit overused. Now, if there was to be a game changer in the early church, I reckon it would be what's going on here in Acts 2. All right, Pentecost, that day, the coming of the Holy Spirit on all believers, people recognizing that Jesus, the one that they had just crucified, when they come to realize who he is, that he is indeed God's Son, and they come to see that he is the Lord, the Christ, the Messiah, the one they were waiting for. They crucified him, put him to death. And they come to a realization of who he is and what he had done. They are then cut to the heart and they say to Peter, "What shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized." And many, many of them are, 3,000 on this day, turn to God. They repent of their sin. They receive forgiveness of sins. They receive the Holy Spirit. They start a new life with Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Right? Their life from this day on would never be the same. And it leads to this fellowship of believers. Because it's not just about them and their salvation. They're part of a people. They're part of God's people. And that's what leads to this expression of it in this local church. The communion of saints. Now, what I love here, that apart from us getting together on a Sunday morning, that people get together in one another's homes during the week. And that regularly, in 8 different homes during the week, people are committed to going along and sharing their life and working hard to apply God's word to their life and caring and praying for one another in their group. I love that that is going on. That a few days ago, that members of one group visited a person in hospital. That on Monday mornings, parents and little kids, they get together to share together in the playtime group. In the park this afternoon, again, sharing of their life together. We've got the worldwide church, and that's great, and we are part of that. But here we have 100, 150 people, part of this church, Life Anglican Church Stanhope, and together we get to worship God. Together we get to share in the joys that are going on in your life and the moments that are not joyful. We get to connect, to cultivate our faith, to celebrate our life with one another. I love that Thursday of last week, having 22 of the guys in my home. I love to be able to cook for you. I love that other than just catching up, we're able to talk about marriage, about being a husband. I love that we were able to speak of our wins and our struggles in that. I hear some people say, I believe in God, I can be a Christian, but I don't need church. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be part of church. I find it pretty interesting in this creed. So if you think of the structure of this creed and what it is that we say. We declare that we believe in God the Father. We declare that we believe in God the Son. And we declare that we believe in God the Holy Spirit. And what is the very next line? It's what we're looking at now. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. I believe in church. Right? The creed is declaring our belief in God, and we say we believe in church. So to be a Christian and to say, oh, I don't need church. I don't know about that. To be a Christian is to be part of God's people. It is to be a part of His worldwide church and a local church. I don't know if you can be part of God's people and not be part of church. My hope for us here at Stanhope is that each of us would be connected to Jesus, to His church, and to one another. That each of us would cultivate our faith in Jesus through His word, through prayer, the fellowship of His people, and that together we would celebrate the life that is ours in Jesus. That we would do that together. Now, I see that happening here for lots of you. And I long that that would be the case for every single person in this church. That church, being part of church, would be a joy. Life is not always easy. Life is hard. But being part of God's people, being part of His worldwide church and a local church, that will make a huge difference. Not only will it keep your head above water, but I reckon it will lift you up to what God is doing in the world. that he is gathering together a people for himself from all the world, and that that can be expressed in a local church where people come together to worship God with one another. And that we can do that here with people who have come from all different nations is a great thing. Now, I know church can be a little bit dull at times. It can let you down. But see the bigger picture. See God's worldwide church and the smaller expression of it here, the local church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your church that you are building. And thank you that through Jesus and the work of your Spirit, we can be part of it. Amen.